The disciples of Jesus, after hearing that he would be going to Jerusalem, and then he would be put to death, they were striving between themselves. Who is going to take over now when the Lord is gone? Who is going to be the leader? And this is a natural situation the disciples found themselves in. Jesus, along the way, was telling them he is going to die, and this and that. And therefore, of course, they were wondering who is going to lead when he is gone. Jesus had to call them around him and convince them that if anyone wishes to be first, he must be the servant of all. Jesus not only preached humility, but also gave us the example and the command. He humbled himself, dying as a slave. And then he says, learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. And unless you become like little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's all about to be humble. Humility is a virtue founded on the knowledge of God and of ourselves. It teaches us to acknowledge God as the source of all that we are and all that we have, so that no one, St. Paul says, can boast in the presence of God. I told you this story one time. Two seminarians, see if it would be a red skirt, and it would say two seagulls. These are two seminarians. They were bragging among themselves. And one of them said, he said, my superior said that I resemble St. Francis. Well, the other one said, that's funny, he said, because he said that I resemble John the Baptist. Another classmate, a seminarian walking by, he heard the balloon contest. So he stopped to give them a lesson. He said, you know, I just got out of the hospital and I met my superior, and he slapped me on the back and said to me, Holy Moses, when did you come? So Jesus had really difficulty teaching the disciples. They were just fishermen, of course, and probably among themselves, before they were called to be apostles, they also were bragging among themselves who caught the biggest fish. So, in the book of Judges, in the Old Testament, we have a wonderful story that shows what trust in God can do, and that we should not rely on our strength. A huge army, we are told, was facing the people of Israel. The army was without number as the sand upon the seashore. It must have been an impressive and terrifying sight to face such an army. Then God called Gideon to rally the Israelites and to lead them against the invaders. 32,000 men volunteered. But God said to Gideon, "That's too many." Can you tell that to the defense, the Secretary of Defense, that you have too many planes or too many in the army? God said, "That's too many." The reason is, if Israel wins with a big army, the people will say, "This is our victory. God had nothing to do with it." So God said to Gideon, he said, "I tell you what to do. Tell those who are afraid to go home." And believe it, 22,000 men went home. I would have gone with them probably too. They breathed a sigh of relief and headed home. Now he was left with 10,000. God said to him again, "Still too many. Take them down to the water. Let them drink. Those who lap up the water with their tongues you should keep. Send the rest home." Now they were down to 300 people. God said to him, "That's more like it." The Israelites were victorious. God is glorified in our weakness. When we are weak, we learn to depend on Him. When we are weak, we know that we cannot do it by our own strength. So, Jesus asks us today the lesson to be humble. And when we trust Him, when we realize that all that we are and all that we have comes from Him, then things begin to happen. There is also the example of the great saint, Saint John Vianney. John Vianney was in the seminary in France, and he was told many times to leave because he could not pass any exam. So finally, the bishop said, "Let's give him the last chance. Let's examine him." So he got about four priests, four professors, and a bishop, and John. And they told him, "John, you cannot make it to be a priest. Why don't you leave?" He said, "No. God wants me to be a priest." And in fact, one of the professors had the courage to call him. He said, "John, you are a complete ass. Why don't you leave?" Well, John now is not going to take that. He said, "Okay, let me tell you something. That you know the Holy Scripture. You know how many people Samson killed with the jawbone of an ass. They say, yes. So he said, imagine what God can do with a complete ass. And of course, finally they ordained him. And then it was another problem. They said, where do we put him? Well, the bishop said, put him in a place where he can do the least harm. And they put him in the town of ours, invested by communists and by atheists. And John changed that town. He used to spend hours in the confessional. People started to him slowly but surely. And in a while, he converted that town. There is nothing that can stop the hand of God. Now, some have the wrong idea of humility. Thomas Aquinas says humility is built on truth and justice. And therefore, he says, in a person who knows his strength, his good qualities, and uses them to carry out his plans for the glory of God and for the good of God's people, in that person, he says, we find a better manifestation of the virtue of humility. And Aquinas goes on to say that to aim at greater things in life through confidence in God's help is a manifestation of humility. Therefore, how do we regain humility? By realizing the fact that however important we may believe to be, when we are removed by death, resignation, or retirement from our position, life goes on. And then, of course, to believe that all that we are, therefore, and all that we have comes from God. And God says, without me, you can do nothing. And again, Scripture, nothing is impossible with God. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.